Support for WERU comes from DeMonte Berlian Arts, photography and creative services in Maine at berlianarts.com. That's BERLIAN arts.com.
The time's 9:59 and you are tuned to WERU-FM, 89.9 Blue Hill, 99.9 Bangor, and streaming online everywhere at WERU.org. Maine Arts Alive with your host Michael Donahue is up next.
And welcome everyone to Maine Arts Alive. I am Michael Donahue. As you heard, I am the host of Maine Arts Alive. This program is a salute by WERU to the literally thousands of artists and arts organizations that abound in this state. We thank them for being there, and we want you to know more about what they do. And in an effort to do that, we have brought together what I think is a synergy of current and future activity in the arts and arts funding. We have with us, and I will introduce them in no particular order, but we have today Julie Richard, who's the executive director of the Maine Arts Commission, and she most recently held the position of president and CEO of the West Valley Arts Council in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. Before that, she was the executive director of the Metropolitan Arts Council in Greenville, South Carolina. Welcome.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah. We have Kathy Emilio, who is a program officer for Midcoast and Down East Maine at the Maine Community Foundation. She's also a painter and a printmaker, combining one-of-a-kind printmaking with watercolor painting. She has also worked on a range of media, including radio, and, by the way, WERU. You remember those days?
Oh, yes.
She's also works in pottery, jewelry, and fiber. We have Charles Stanhope with us, who's the chair of the Maine Arts Commission. He recently retired from the Library of Congress, where he served as Director of Public Affairs and Director of Fundraising, and retired, actually, as the Assistant Chief Operating Officer for Executive Operations. Do I have all that?
You have that all right, Michael. Thank you for your invitation this morning.
Certainly. Charles, you kind of served as the co-chair of this plan development that we're going to be talking about, along with Lori LaChance.
Correct. She was my co-chair on the steering committee.
Yeah. And last but certainly not least, as you will find out through the process of our hour, and I hope I have this pronounced correctly, Diane Matarazza. Okay, close enough.
Perfect.
Anyway.
Thank you.
She's president of the Diane Matarazza Incorporated, which is an independent arts management consulting firm in Florida. She's an arts educator, a nonprofit arts administrator, federal arts funder, and director of a national foundation in the entertainment industry. You are a busy person.
Those were past lives, and my current life is now with this wonderful business of helping organizations around the country succeed. So
wonderful. Okay. Let me try, and I use the word synergy. Last year, the Maine Community Foundation put together a plan for the future. And this year, about to be announced, and as a matter of fact, I feel kind of honored that this show will be the first step in that announcement process. The Maine Arts Commission has done a year-long study?
It's been about a year and a half, actually.
Okay. And that study is called Fortifying Maine's Creativity and Culture, a five-year cultural plan, 2015 to 2020. Now, I have looked at a copy of this online. It is extensive. It has brought together how many people? A couple thousand people over the process?
We actually had over 6,200 people participate and provide inputs into this process, which, by the way, I don't want to interrupt you, but
No, please. Please, go for it.
Which we think is the highest participation rate of any state arts agency plan in the country. We're not positive, but we're kind of positive.
Well, enough positive to brag about.
Exactly. Yes.
That's our story, and we're sticking with it.
Well, what this cries out for is attention to the arts due, and perhaps overdue. And the fact that the arts, as we've said in this program, is integral to education, is integral to the economy of the state. And I'm so pleased that this report seems to be focusing on those. Julie, why don't you start off with just describing the report in general and what you're trying to do with this?
Okay. Well, it's been several years since the Arts Commission really undertook a very comprehensive strategic planning process. And to the best of our knowledge, the Arts Commission has never done a general public opinion survey. So we wanted to incorporate that into this process for the first time to really get a sense of what the general public thinks about arts and culture. So that was incorporated as well as surveys of artists as well as arts organizations as all part of the information gathering part of this process. So after we put all this information together, Diane and her team really kind of went through and was able to pull out priorities. Plus, we traveled all over the state and had many, many meetings and gatherings and town hall types of meetings as well and feedback sessions with people to make sure that what we thought we were hearing they agreed with or they challenged or whatever the case might be. So it's been a very long give and take process as part of this.
And Charles, you were brought in as co-chair. This has turned out to be a big project. How has it developed in terms of your first impressions?
Well, my first impressions, especially being on the road with some of these conversations, is the energy and the excitement that lives in the arts communities and in communities where the arts are thriving and struggling. But we have to thank all of those folks who helped us get the word out about the survey as well, to get it into as many mailboxes and emails as we could to get the kind of response rate Julie was referring to. It was just so – there was a buzz every time we brought a group of people together. It was hard to get them to calm down and focus on the tasks at hand. But it was really fun, and I think everyone will see themselves in this and what they have contributed to it and will own that piece as well as all of it at large. And that's what we want. We want it to be a living document that's in people's hands and hearts as we look ahead to the next 5 years.
Diane, you were brought in to lead this process. Can you describe that process for us and your impressions around success or failure?
In terms of process, I would give this one an A+. I've done a few of these over the years, and we began by really assessing the state and saying who are the stakeholders that need to be involved in this, and the general public was at the top of the list. And so we set out to it was back in April of last year. We did the launch, and we spent all of the summer months into December collecting information. I said we were giant sponges. We were looking to artists, to arts and cultural organizations, co-ops of artists, and then extensively pushing information out to the public. I'm really pleased to say that we've heard from every zip code in the state. 3,700 residents responded to the survey. And when we include all of the collective inputs, 1,037 artists, over 420 cultural workers, leaders, and between the focus, we did focus groups, the community conversations around the state, right, as we were gathering these surveys. My team and I went into the tanks over the December holidays in January to cull all of this information. We also compared it. This state has a lot of incredible research. The Community Foundation, the Maine Foundation, Economic Development, different branches of state government. And we looked extensively at those plans to understand what the priorities of this state are, what are the big issues, how might the arts be put to work to help address some of the larger issues of the state. So all of that happened through the December holidays. And then we came back in March with our findings and some preliminary recommendations and went back around the state a series of summits in March where we pulled together community leaders, representatives from the cultural community in Portland and Orono and Presque Isle the week of March 17 to share these results and to get feedback on the recommendations. As Julie mentioned earlier, are these the right directions? How could we make them, how could these be more informed by the people that are actually on the front lines in their communities? So that what we have come forward with now and we'll be presenting tomorrow, the plan's official rollout tomorrow, is the amalgamation of all of this collective wisdom. So rather than leading the process, I hope I facilitated a process that was very inclusive and that people are pleased with.
From your experience in doing this in a couple of times, different places, what do those numbers say to you? I mean, they're impressive numbers in and of themselves, but what do they say?
That there is a genuine enthusiasm and love in this community. There's a lot of pride in communities in Maine, and people are very proud of all that is here. And as Charles mentioned, there are communities that are struggling. But the one overarching stat that is kind of emblazed in my brain is that on the public opinion survey, we asked open-ended questions. And one of the open-ended questions was, what would you like for people to be saying about your community 5 years from now? And we got more than 70 different responses. And we looked at these geographically. We used the Grow Smart Economic Development regions because, you know, down on the coast, I've learned, is very different than up north.
Oh, and, yes.
And so to honor those dynamics, we filtered all of the data to look through the lenses of you know, geography. And on that particular question, being a center for arts and culture or a place where creativity is honored and thriving was the top of the list in all six regions out of more than 70 different open-ended responses. That says a lot, and it promises to me in terms of what the future could be here, it's very, very exciting. There's a lot of good that's here that would be happening with or without the Maine Arts Commission, and with extraordinary leadership and working together with other entities, the sky is the limit.
I want to go into the goals of this in a few minutes, but I want to turn to Kathy here for a moment. The Community Foundation has always and continues to play an important role in the development of the arts in the state. And you have a plan yourselves. Could you just describe that plan briefly, and how do you see a synergy here with what's going on with the Maine Arts Commission?
I do, definitely. The Maine Arts Commission has always been a wonderful partner to the Maine Community Foundation, and our plan for the future focuses on three broad areas.
This mic is not very... Yeah. Okay, here we go. Our plan for the future focuses on three broad areas: leadership, education, and place. And all of them touch upon the rich climate of the arts in Maine. We launched this plan about 2 years ago, and recently we held meetings all around the state, which we were calling Measuring Up, to see how we are doing with aligning our work with these goals, and we are doing pretty well. We just finished our community building grant cycle, and as I looked through the lists of funded projects last night, I realized that so many are supportive of the arts. And we certainly acknowledge through all the years of working on studying the creative economy that the arts have certainly added to Maine's economy, but another element that's so important is how the arts bolster the health of the community. They're very, very important.
We've got some microphone changing going on here, which is a part of radio. Your last statement there about defining community. It seems to me this has been a big thrust of the Counselor, I get the right name here. I'd love to know more about this. Are we okay on this mic now, you think? Okay, we're good. Keep talking.
Can you hear me, Amy? No.
No, we're still having problems with that. Okay.
There we go.
The plan as it's coming forward from the Maine Arts Commission has a couple of specific priorities. I wonder if we can touch on those priorities, Julie and Charles. And Kathy, as we talk about them, could you perhaps indicate how you're fitting, dovetailing with them? That would I'd love it if everyone walks away from this program having an idea of what it is that you guys want to do in the next 5 years or more, what you want to accomplish, and that we as citizens of the state can measure you in terms of success.
Right. Well, Michael, one big area for the Maine Community Foundation is downtown revitalization, restoration, and preservation of historic buildings, many of which house arts organizations. And so the focus on place not only focuses on the arts, but also on conservation, on education. The Maine Arts Commission and the Maine Community Foundation partner in many ways. Last week I was on a grants panel for the Maine Arts Commission, and the Maine Arts Commission's grants manager, Kathy Ann Shaw, serves on my Maine Expansion Arts Committee. There's a lot of relationship among and between our two organizations.
Well, that's great to hear. Julie, there's five strategic priorities that you've come up with. These, I take it, will be initiated in steps, or how are you going to go? What are they, and how are you going to go about working them?
Well, there are five priorities. The four key priorities involve the broader community at large. So the first one is leveraging investment in the arts. So the idea is to attract more resources so that we can do everything that we want to do with this plan and with the future of the Maine Arts Commission and the arts in Maine. So that's the first one. The second one is to increase awareness. We heard far and wide that every arts organization and artist needs more awareness building of what they do. And while, you know, people in general really do understand how valuable and how rich Maine is in the arts, specific things and events still struggle with getting the word out. So increasing awareness overall and how we might do that is the second priority. The third priority is to foster arts education and lifelong learning. Enough said. We've got a lot of work to do there.
There lies my heart.
Yes.
That education and starting at that early point. And, boy, I wish you luck with that one, because everyone seems to be just up against the wall on that.
Yeah, and we're already doing nationally recognized work in arts education, so being able to take that even further is really exciting. Plus, our lifelong learning initiatives are in creative aging. For instance, is another really key focus area in that priority. The fourth priority is building tourism synergy. So this is something that we hear all the time. There needs to be a greater tie between the arts and tourism, and we've worked very hard in building our relationship with the Department of Tourism, and I've come up with something that I'm calling strategic partnerships that really kind of came out of this process. And as a result, Carol Ann Ouellette, who is the director of tourism for the state, will be our first official strategic partner. And we'll be inviting her to our commission meetings to do presentations on exactly what the Department of Tourism is doing, because they really are doing a lot as far as cultural tourism is concerned. But the field doesn't know. The field doesn't know what they're doing. So we feel like this is a first step in getting, helping to get the word out among the communities. And then the fifth priority really has to do with building the Arts Commission's capacity to be able to deliver on all of these priorities. So it's about One of the key things there is to build a 501c3 friends of type organization that could also do advocacy on behalf of the arts in Maine. And we're just in the very beginning stages of exploring what that might look like and what that might need to be.
For anyone here around the table, if I was an individual artist, a potter or whatever, or I was an arts organization, what would be the next thing that I want to hear? What is the next thing that you're going to be offering us that we can start to grab a hold of and make and build?
There are two key things that we hear. Obviously, the first one is we want more money. It's always, you know, something that we want to be able to provide. And the second thing is they really love to be convened. And there's a huge need for professional development among artists and arts organizations. So we did a conference 2 years ago. We're going to be repeating that this fall, convening the arts community throughout the state and in some cases beyond is really important. And being able to provide additional professional development opportunities for artists and organizations is something that we're going to be building on.
Kathy, synergies here?
Well, organizations like the Belfast Creative Coalition play a big part mm-hmm. in doing just what Julie's speaking of. And the Maine Arts Commission supported mm-hmm. the town of Belfast, Eastport, Scudic, Machias, where else? With your seed
Waterville,
grants.
Biddeford, and the High Peaks region.
Right. So the Maine Arts Commission has this wonderful program, which mm-hmm. you can talk more about, the seed program. But then the Maine Community Foundation has given grants to support arts organizations and endeavors in those towns and cities. And in fact, when you gave the seed grant to Machias, we added in another $25,000. Mm-hmm. So we partner in, and we just appreciate that the Maine Arts Commission is doing this for communities.
And continuing to invest in community development through the arts is part of that first priority. So that is something that we will continue to do.
And you mentioned convening. So the mm-hmm. Belfast Creative Coalition invited Julie to be their keynote speaker mm-hmm. for their last annual meeting. And it was such a great turnout at Waterfall Arts, and a lot of networking and a lot of future work came mm-hmm. out of such a meeting.
Yeah, they're doing amazing work in Belfast.
How sure. the heck are you going to measure all this? I mean, Diane, this I'm sure you've been asked this more often than not in working these projects, but it's all well and good to say we're going to do this, this, and this, and respond to specific needs, but how do you measure success here?
Well, we have a number of ways that we plan to measure success. And I know that, you know, the pressure is on. We're going to be striving to achieve this. But by 2020, we are going to be looking to move the dial in terms of financial investment. In addition to the continued generosity of the state, in 2014, the state of Maine was ranked 34 in the nation and giving 61 cents per person. The national average is $1.09. So by 2020, one of our goals is that the per capita from our state government appropriation will be at least in excess of whatever the national average would be. So we're hoping to bring that, to take that up. Already the legislature is proposing 73 cents, so to go from 61 cents in 2014 in the next biennium to be at 73%, and then by 2020 to exceed that, hopefully over a dollar. With the notion of what we're hearing at the table in terms of leveraging resources, with the C3 Foundation to be able to leverage more financial resources to go to the front lines on the field, money is really key. So being able to do that, leveraging other resources, will be the monetary measure. In terms of reach, with the network that we will be very calculated in putting together through this plan, building a statewide network, we had 1,037 artists respond to the survey. We want to build a network that is formalized, that will be 3,000 artists and 1,000 organizations strong. Now, you say, what does that network mean? There's a great sense of isolation among some artists. They know each other in their communities, but there's a lot of cross-pollination that could happen through these convenings and opportunities just to put creative people together and watch that create the wonderful things that happen. So putting together the networks of that magnitude, connecting our outreach efforts to see that word about all that is available in communities is out on websites and being pushed to tourists and more residents. Currently, the Maine Tourism Association has over 1,000 arts organizations listed on its website. We want to keep those numbers fresh and growing. That's another metric. Another important metric with arts education, which is near and dear to all of our hearts. Way back, I was a music teacher in another state, and we can't do enough in arts education. Currently, the Maine Arts Commission is got a connectivity with each, connectedness with the schools, but we're hoping that at least 75% of the schools in Maine will be more active users of the resources that are there, and that when we measure, and we will be doing that, the commission is going to be working on this in future projects, to actually measure and monitor the extent to which arts education is in schools, and we'll be looking at those numbers very carefully.
Bringing the arts into the schools, I have found in the past with theater, puts what many administrators in education consider it's a tough deal for them because it's more work for them, and it's not necessarily always understood what it achieves.
One of the most extraordinary learnings about arts education is that it helps increase learning rigor, and there are numbers of studies that have demonstrated that. One in this state, you can be very proud of, and that was looking at students who have been involved in the arts as part of their curriculum and their performance on SAT scores. And if I could show you the graph now and show that graph to our listeners.
Radio doesn't do well.
I know, but imagine the different artistic disciplines,
yeah,
and the students who are participated in those compared to students with no arts. And I will tell you that the graph is almost twice the size, mm-hmm, of the test scores for students. We all learn differently. And the arts have a wonderful way of, and it was superintendent down south coined the word for me in saying, arts increase learning rigor. They make children want to come to school. Students are more engaged, and so that's the value.
Charles, out of curiosity, we're talking about the work going on in schools, yet school budgets are getting cut.
They are.
Severely.
And unfortunately, they look at the arts sometimes first.
Absolutely. And now, you just take yourself out of the role of board, but as a citizen of this state and one that has had a one-on-one around a library and information, how are we going to overcome, in your mind, this cut in funding at the same time you want to increase activity?
Well, I think the advocacy that we have now, we're going to grow and strengthen. When school, elementary school jazz programs are challenged, the community rallied, letters to the editor were written, and people appeared at school council meetings to demonstrate their emotional and psychological commitment to how valuable the arts and that particular program and any program that's being challenged is. I think our advocacy organization growing will help equip people to do that more succinctly, maybe, or more with greater energy and not feel like they're lone wolves crying in little wildernesses, but we'll have them all together across the state and rallying at the barricades wherever we may need to be. The not-so-subtle long-term goal for arts education and investment in it is these individuals, these students, are going to be the next not only just the artists and the arts leaders, but they're going to be the members of the board. They're going to be the members of commissions. They're going to be the ticket purchasers and subscribers and donors. They're going to be investing and equipped to invest in the future that we're standing on the heritage today of the wonderful things that are going on across the state. These individuals, these towns, the coalition that Kathy described in Belfast is modeling the behavior for the next generation that knows that will be learning how to invest to keep it going and to grow it in the rest of the 21st century.
You sound as much a spokesman for the Arts Commission as the Community Foundation. So well, once again, we see how this all fits together.
Right. And I think, you know, we see the illustration from Belfast is just one place where collaboration is not key. It's just essential. And the CCED grant, the Creative Economies Equals Economic Development, is the thrust of that is to get the segments of a community talking to each other, the arts, the schools, the government, the businesses, so that they understand the impact the arts are having in that community. And the Arts Commission is pleased that it can at least seed, S-E-E-D, the effort and sustain it in those early infancy stages. And then it's just been so exciting to watch these organizations grow and the communities to thrive and the downtowns to be rehabilitated and not places that are avoided but are now destinations.
I think it's going to be a stretch for some towns to understand the link between the arts and community building. The center city, whether it be center city or a center of the town. I take Blue Hill as an example, where I live. This is a town center that's having some real problems right now. I think it's going to be tough for that council to say, okay, arts investment's going to help make a change.
You'd be surprised, though. Nationwide, across the country, mayors and town councils actually look to the arts to build community over and over and over again. It's actually one of the first places they turn because they know how valuable arts are to bring people to their downtown cores. So more so than I think any other municipal level, towns and cities really do look toward the arts for that impetus to make their communities more livable and vital.
And I think we've built a network of these successes in mm-hmm. Maine that the Arts Commission can put Blue Hill and places like Blue Hill who may be questioning a direction or a strategy. We can help them be in touch with places that have been through that very same experience and can learn and the cases that they have evaluated and the decisions that they've made and whether or not they apply. The Arts Commission can be that resource for the rest of the state that is going to be growing, we hope, with the impact of this plan as well as increased resources the commission will have to invest in these initiatives.
Dan, were you going to add something?
I was, because there are extraordinary souls in the state, and we met with almost 500 of them, a police chief along the way in a small community up north.
In Holton.
In Holton. I didn't want to name the name, but...
Oh, well, there we go.
Was speaking
it's a good
about,
thing this is national radio.
Full
right?
disclosure.
Was speaking about the gang problems that are starting to emerge in this state, and what are we doing about issues of youth, issues of poverty, issues of health and wellness. But he focused predominantly on this notion of gangs and the importance of having creative outlets for young people. And that conversation was extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he came to the meeting. We also spoke with people who deal with public health and the notion of using the arts as a tool to help improve wellness, mind, body, spirit. But there are a lot of incredible things that are already happening in this state at the local level. People on the front lines are very resourceful. And so it's a matter of cultivating those, using those good examples to help set the stage for others and figuring out ways that we can be more supportive of them.
This is WERU 89.9 in Blue Hill, 99.9 in Bangor. Maine Arts Alive is interviewing around the table Julie Richard, who's the executive director of the Maine Arts Commission. Kathy Melio is the program officer for Midcoast and Down East Maine at the Maine Community Foundation. Charles Stanhope, who's kind of helped to chair the work that's going on that we're discussing for the plan development going on at the Maine Arts Commission. And last but certainly not least, Diane Mataraza, who has helped to lead that plan development as well. I'm going to open the phones. If you would like to join this conversation, please feel free to do so. We'd love to hear from you. The phone number, if you don't like 800 numbers, it's 469-0500. If you love 800 numbers, well, we got one for you, 1-866-625-9378. Now, 469-0500. Join in the conversation. Okay.
Michael,
you were about to say something.
Well, I just wanted to bring up one multi-year art project that both the Maine Community Foundation and the Maine Arts Commission have supported and get people to think about the impact of this project. And I'm speaking of the Skudik International Sculpture Symposium. What it has done for this state and for the towns that now have permanent, wonderful sculptures, and what it has done for the many, many Maine students of all ages who were exposed to this project, who came and watched sculptors from all over the world creating great works of art, and how now it is a sustainable project where people, tourists, and locals, Mainers, are traveling around the state to see all of these wonderful sculptures. I think it's just a prime example of just the health of the arts in Maine.
And another model like that is the new Bernard Langley Trail, where all the Langley sculptures are going to be distributed in locales, and they will be attracting interested parties. It'll become a destination to go, and around those, the communities will grow, the local food markets will grow and thrive. The restaurants will thrive. It all is of a piece, and it's of the livability and the quality of the state of Maine that we're so excited about and so proud of. Diane talked about how prideful everyone has been in this exchange. There is so much to be proud of in this organization. Kathy mentioned last week's grant reviews, and I had the opportunity to read a number of grant applications, and it was so exciting to read how much good work is going on in the big cities and the little crossroads and the small villages and towns. They're reaching out to in their schools where schools are unable to provide those arts or opportunities or experiences. Organizations have stepped up and have created places that are addressing that need. There's so much really good work going on across Maine.
The very fact that one of your first goal priorities is increased funding, it's all very exciting to hear all these projects that people have in mind. And Kathy and Charles and Julie, you've all read these submissions, and sometimes it's a pile a foot high. And you can fund maybe 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 20.
That is the sad part.
How do we go about bringing about a change in terms of the financial support for the arts?
Well, there are a lot of strategies out there that this state has just simply not looked at, to be honest. And a lot of other state arts agencies have incorporated into their mix of fund resources. So we get a good chunk of our budget from the National Endowment for the Arts, which will probably always remain right around $700,000. We get a chunk of our budget from the state appropriation. Other states look to specific fund fees or taxes or investments, whatever they might be, that could be part of the state budget. That's something that we're going to be looking at as a possibility down the road. And then this 501c3 foundation, where many states, in fact, I believe it's 27 in the country, have invested in these separate organizations that help them develop state arts endowments or state trust funds that are built, and then the either interest or the direct investment is then invested back into the community. So there are ways that we can increase our ability to leverage additional investments. We just haven't done that in Maine yet. So there are possibilities.
My impression is that if you can convince the powers that be that arts make money for the state, that the funding may follow, may, I stress that term. So it seems to me one of the most important linkages would be with tourism.
That, definitely tourism is a possibility, but you should also know that we are going to be embarking on a statewide economic impact study that is part of Americans for the Arts. This is something that they've been doing now for, this will be, I think, their 20th year in doing this. And we are, for the first time, going to be a statewide partner. And as a result, we're in the process of recruiting local partners. So we've got a lot of communities in Maine who are interested in being local partners. So we're going to have fantastic economic impact information on the arts and how the arts do truly impact our statewide economy in 2017 following the launch of this next study. So we're very excited about that.
This organization you mentioned, Americans for the Arts, is an absolutely wonderful organization, which any of you listening, if you'd like to follow up, I want everyone around the table to give you websites and so on, but there's no one sitting here for the Americans for the Arts, so I'll give it. It's www.americans, plural, for the arts, all one word, .org. Take a look at it. If you are an artist or an arts organization that wants to build all these kinds of connections we're talking about here. One of the things that the organization puts out is 10 reasons to support the arts, which, you know, I've been carrying around with me for months saying, here, look at this. And people learned it, like Julie and Kathy look at me and say, I know, we've seen it. But it's frustrating, I think, for many of us who know the value of the arts to realize that there are 10 wonderful reasons for supporting the arts, but yet it still seems to be dragging. There's some weight we're pulling that's dragging us down. You have a thought?
I do. The fact that there are nearly 20 million tourists who visit this state every year, and were the arts, if we could snap our fingers and have all of the arts tomorrow disappear from the state of Maine, the impact on tourism, I think, would be marked. There are a number of people who come here for the natural beauty of it. But Carol Ann Ouellette has shared a tremendous amount of tourism information with us. And curiously, tourism, in how the nation collects statistics, there is not a way to collect tourism statistics because tourism is not a, quote, industry by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, nor are the arts.
Really?
No. So cultural development, there are for the arts, there are creativity indices, but in terms of cultural development, we don't have good metrics for that, ways to measure it just yet. There are a number of different ways. So down the road, in looking to our partners in other sectors that are doing incredible research, to include cultural impacts in that, I think the arts are everywhere, but the knowledge of arts impacts are not where they should be. And that will be another outcome, we hope, of this plan, that there will be more coordination and good research that helps to tell that story in very pragmatic ways that will resonate with business people and community leaders, as well as those who love the arts.
One of my pet peeves, too, is not being able to measure individual artists. This is something that many states have tried to do, but unless you actually file an income tax return and self-identify as having gained income from your art, you're not counted as an artist. So there are many, many artists out there who might earn their primary income through teaching, and they just don't file as part of their taxes as an individual artist. So we're missing a lot of individual artist data, and there's just not an easy way to get that.
That's, I think, a significant fact. I mean, I know so many artists who the idea of networking themselves, mm-hmm, or marketing themselves or filing income tax form is just, you know, leave me alone and let me do my pottery, mm-hmm, or let me do my painting. How do we bridge that gap?
I don't know. It's really a difficult thing. It's something that it's been bugging me for years, and no one has really tried to do it. So that might be something that we put in our list of things to do in the next 5 years.
Back to the tourism issue. I think there's a wonderful synergy or symbiosis between the natural environment and the arts environment here. When people come here for a vacation and they are planning to hike and canoe, etc., but it's a rainy day, they go to the museums and the mm-hmm. art galleries, or they take workshops. Mm-hmm. Right now, Scudic Arts for All is engaged, and there are many, many mm-hmm. workshops for their annual Festival of the Arts. And there are local people and tourists taking those workshops. And I think it might behoove the state of Maine to advertise itself as both.
Mm-hmm. And actually, the focus areas that tourism is looking at for their that are part of their current plan all tie back to the arts. So they are, you know, very actively incorporating arts and culture into what they're trying to do going forward.
If you would like to give us, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Sorry.
I'm trying to get a phone call here. 469-0500, 469-0500, or 866-625-9378. One of the again, going back to that national survey, is the effect of arts on innovation. We have talked over and over and over again about how Maine needs to develop these centers for innovation. I have not heard a link spoken of between the arts and innovation. Is there? What is it? How can we use it?
Well, I think if you look at Portland Startup and Create Week this week, there's absolutely a link between the arts and innovation. And I think Maine, of all the places I've lived, gets that better than any other place I've lived. The economic development professionals here in Maine talk about the creative economy as just part of their regular vernacular. I've said this before. Other places that I've lived, economic development professionals don't even know what the creative economy is. So we've already bridged a good part of that problem here in Maine. We just need to take it one step further. And I really do think that businesses and the creative types here, whether that creativity is going toward building a new IT company or creating a new product or creating jewelry and being a painter, it all comes from the same place here in Maine, and it all contributes overall to our economy.
This sounds like something the Maine Community Foundation would be highly involved with, innovation and that kind of thing.
Well, definitely.
We've got a microphone issue, but we're dealing with it.
We know how to share here. Yeah. Well, the Community Foundation invests in startups such as a new arts organization in Ellsworth called Artsworth, the Mohawk Arts Collective up on MDI, as well as well-established arts organizations such as the Farnsworth Art Museum, the Eastport Arts Center, et cetera. I just thought we should bring up technology here because think about YouTube and think about the fact that WERU broadcasts throughout the world. We're sitting in a venue right now that fosters the arts on so many levels. And the Maine Community Foundation recently gave a grant to WERU for strategic planning. And you might not think that that has anything to do with the arts, but it does. Mm-hmm. These grants that we give for capacity building to organizations helps to foster their ability to continue creating the arts. But back to YouTube, I think it's very interesting that anybody can produce a video or create something and share it with the world. And that's a part of mm-hmm. today and the future. And who knows what will be happening 10 years from now. But I like
exactly.
to imagine it.
So many things have been brought up here, but one of the things I'd love to hear a little more about is this 501c3 you're talking about starting. What's that going to be all about? What's it going to do?
Well, the primary focus of that 501c3 would be to help us create an arts endowment, a statewide arts endowment. And the goal of it is really to not compete with the organizations out there that are struggling to raise money. It would really to be to go after national grants or one-time big gifts that could be endowment, and not not compete on an annual basis with those people who are trying to help, obviously. So that's the first thing. The second thing that it would do is be that statewide advocacy organization, create that network for artists and arts organizations so that we can communicate directly and succinctly with the field and mobilize the field when we need to around whatever policy issues that might need to be addressed at a certain time.
Is there a reason why this has been created in addition to the work of the commission as a whole? Is it the 501c3 you need there? But you've got that.
No, we don't.
Oh, you don't.
No.
Really?
No, we're a state arts agency. We're a state agency. And actually, the other state cultural agencies all have some kind of a 501c3 arm already. Okay. We're the only one that doesn't have one.
The 501c3 is the IRS designation for a nonprofit organization. And pardon me, I thought that the commission was so. Well, there you are. Now I see why you're creating that organization. You really need that wing.
And in fact, when we have gone after larger out-of-state grants for specific projects, we've had to partner with outside organizations to be our fiscal agent because we can't actually collect specific foundation gifts if they'll only give to a 501c3. So that's been really difficult too at times.
How is Charles, the board, for want of a better term, of the Maine Arts Commission, how is it see this development of this 501c3?
They've all been engaged right from the beginning, and I think they're very excited to be able to see the new direction or the next steps going forward. All of the commission members are members of our steering committee. They've been involved to the extent that they can in our convenings, and I think they will step up to the plate and help design what this 501c3 will be. It isn't an idea that came out of anybody's head. It came from the field. It was what we heard participants and artists and arts organizations say the state of Maine needed. And so we'll be examining what it is, and we'll be looking for people with expertise like Kathy and the Community Foundation and others to enter into the conversation of its design. What's the first thing you need to do? What is the scope going to be? How will we create it and structure it? So I think the commission sees it's a great a challenge, and I think having the state's bicentennial ahead of us in 2020 is a great landmark. It would be a great gift to the people and artists and art communities of Maine to have such an advocacy organization in place and doing the work of building the support and getting the donations for these projects that we, at the moment around this table, can't even dream what people will be dreaming about and designing going forward. I think it's a terrific challenge, but we'll take it as that, and it'll take some baby steps to get started.
I think, Kathy, you're seeing an application in the future here.
Great, I hope so.
I'm curious, Diane, again, you've done a number of these. What will be your biggest takeaway as a result of the work you've done in Maine?
Oh, gosh. That I can't wait to see the success that will actually happen here. I think there's huge momentum. I do think that the commission is going to move the dial on the revenue that it's able to produce. I think that when the amalgamation of artists and arts organizations, when that is a cohesive network, I think it will rival states that are five times the size of Maine. I think Maine will be among the top in the country in terms of its the creativity and the energy of the cultural community in the state is extraordinary, and I can't wait to see how that is shown off.
We've got a caller. Caller from Blue Hill area, your name, please, and what's on your mind?
My name is Carol. I'm from North Blue Hill and Bar Harbor. I just wanted to suggest that the organization or the groups of artists who form themselves into little co-ops all along the coast who have never asked for money or asked for help, one of the things that might help that wouldn't cost a lot would be putting them on the map in some greater effort. Maybe I know in Bar Harbor, for example, we looked into how to get the cruise ships to know that the place to go for Maine crafts is this one gallery on Main Street. The Chamber of Commerce all put out books that they send to people who are coming to their communities. We were able to, after 28 years, I'm retired from this group, but they're still going strong 33 years later. But after you become a member of the chamber, which is extremely expensive, to buy a page in the book that tells that this is where you can get Maine crafts and where all the other people are, individual artists, where they can get Maine crafts. I think the tourists want to buy Maine crafts, but getting the word out is extremely difficult. It requires, I think a state organization or a state effort, and maybe you're have considered this, but I do think people come to all the little towns in Maine, and they don't know, that's not a primary thought on their mind. It's the big advertisers that have big budgets that can do that. So my question is, have you considered all the people who haven't asked for money that are trying to do it on their own, how you might support them?
Absolutely. And I'm Carol, this is Julie. And one of the things that is, interestingly enough, the last time I was on this show, I was with several people who put out gallery guides, and one of them is the Maine Gallery Guide, and he specifically tries to get that information out to every single small town throughout the entire state, and does a really pretty darn good job. I've seen that guide in just about every community that I've been in. So part of our awareness building efforts will also involve trying to get the word out for artists that are absolutely trying to do it on their own.
Thank you for your call, Carol. I really appreciate that. And I just, our time is running out in a conversation that could easily stretch another hour. I just want to thank Julie Richard from the Maine Arts Commission, Diane Mataraza, who's the president of Mataraza Consulting, who has helped with the development of the plan that is coming out from the commission, Charles Stanhope, who helped chair it, and Kathy Melio, who is the Maine Maine Community Foundation. I know I can say that. All right. Well, thank you all, one and all, for joining us today, and have a wonderful, wonderful day ahead.
Support for WERU comes from our listeners and from the Deer Isle Artists Association, an organization of over 100 artists of the Blue Hill Peninsula, Deer Isle, Stonington, and elsewhere in Maine. The DIAA Gallery is located at 15 Main Street in Deer Isle Village. Exhibits are presented every 2 weeks, featuring paintings, sculptures, photographs, prints, cards, and books by their members. DeerIsleArtists.com or Facebook for more information.
WERU Community Radio and the Bucksport Bay Area Chamber of Commerce will present Bucksport, How It Was and How It Is, a storytelling event on Wednesday, July 8th, 5 to 7 at the Alamo Theater, Main Street in Bucksport. WERU will record the storytelling for broadcast at a later date. The event is part of the Wednesday on Main series, taking place throughout the summer with all kinds of entertainment every Wednesday afternoon. More information is available at BucksportBayChamber.com. Come on out. Have we got some stories for you?
Have we got some stories for you?
Support for WERU comes from our listeners and from Aetna Spiritualist Camp and Retreat Center, presenting group past life regression certification and training workshops June 22nd to 24th. Details and registration at campetna.com or 207-269-2094.
It's 11 a.m. on this Tuesday, June 23rd, and you're tuned to Community Radio, WERU-FM, 89.9 in Blue Hill, 99.9 in Bangor, and streaming online at weru.org. Well, good morning and thanks for tuning in. The show's On the Wing with your host, Rich Hilsinger. A three-hour mix of music from all over the place. Nice to have you on board under these rainy skies today. Quick look at the weather forecast. It rained throughout the day and evening, eventually clearing out late tonight. And then a wonderful forecast for the rest of the week. Sunshine right through Sunday with highs in the mid to high 70s. So get ready for that. Going to start off this morning show with a new CD here in this station. Mason Razavi, fine guitarist, and Bennett Roth Newell on keyboards. The name of the CD is After You. Thought I'd open this morning show with the tune Escaping the Inevitable. Thanks for joining me, 469-0500. If there's anything special you want to hear over these next 3 hours.